Hey there, Kentucky Living Health Club members, and welcome to our weekly interview. This week's interview is kind of comes under the planning section of our umbrella of successful aging, and we're going to talk about Medicare. That's kind of a confusing topic for a lot of people. And today's guest is Michelle List. And Michelle is the Social Services Program Coordinator with the Senior Medicare Patrol Program at Louisville Metro Department of Public Health and Wellness. She has over 20 years' experience working with older adults and nonprofit organizations. And the organization she works for, like I said, is called Senior Medicare Patrol, and that is a group of highly trained volunteers, they're retired professionals, who empower and assist Medicare beneficiaries, their families and caregivers, to prevent, detect, and report health care fraud, errors, and abuse through outreach, counseling, and education. Welcome, Michelle. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for this opportunity.
Okay, well, like I said, it's kind of a confusing topic for a lot of people, and you're the expert on it. So why don't you tell us, what is Medicare and how does it work? Let's start there.
Okay, and Medicare is confusing, so hopefully I'll try to clarify some of those questions people have. Medicare is the federal health insurance program for people who are age 65 and over. For some people under 65 who have disabilities, for people with end-stage renal disease, and for some people who have Lou Gehrig's disease or ALS. Medicare was created by Congress in 1965. It is administered by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS. And when Medicare was created, it was never intended to cover 100% of health care costs. Okay, so that is maybe a little bit about Medicare.
Mm-hmm. So what can you tell us in more detail then about what, you know, there's a lot of confusion over Part B, Part D, drug plans, and all that kind of stuff. So what are the different parts of Medicare, and can you kind of explain that overall picture for us?
Sure. Medicare is made up of four main parts. And they're called Part A, Part B, Part C, and Part D. Medicare Part A and Part B together are known as Original Medicare. And a person will have Original Medicare unless they choose to join a Medicare Advantage plan or Part C. So looking at Medicare Part A, it covers hospital and inpatient services. Some of those services would include inpatient hospital care, for medically necessary procedures, inpatient skilled nursing care for daily skilled care after a 3-day hospitalization with a doctor's plan of care, home health care for part-time or intermittent skilled services that are required after a hospitalization for a homebound patient, and hospice care for services required for an individual with a prognosis of 6 months or less to live, pain management, and comfort care. Some of the costs associated with Part A would be a premium, but most people receive Part A premium free because they have worked for 10 years or a spouse has worked for 10 years. If a person has not worked for 10 years, Part A can be purchased. There is a deductible with Part A, and that's for the hospital services, and it must be paid each benefit period. For 2014, that amount is $1,216. And then there's also daily copayments for services that would apply to Part A.
Okay.
Medicare Part B. Medicare Part B covers medical and outpatient services, and that would be doctor services, durable medical equipment, home health care, x-rays or lab services, outpatient services, mental health services, most preventative health care services like the Welcome to Medicare or yearly wellness exams. Some of the costs associated with Part B is a premium, and in 2014, most people paid $104.90 each month. It's good to note that there was no increase in the premium from the cost that they were paying in 2013, and Part B premiums are tied to income. So if someone has a higher income, they'll pay a higher Part B premium. There's also deductibles, and beneficiaries are responsible for the Part B deductible each calendar year. And this amount will be adjusted according to increases in Medicare expenditures. So for 2014, the deductible is $147, and again, there was no increase in this deductible from 2013. There's also coinsurance, and that is typically 20% for most services that Part B covers.
Okay, let me take a breath here for just a second and kind of ask a question. So for those of us who are not at that age range yet, and we're, you know, looking forward to this in the future, how can we make a comparison or draw some comparisons about how it compares to, you know, your typical medical insurance as we think of it, you know, private medical insurance? So in other words, like Part A would kind of be like, if we compare it to a private policy, Part A is kind of like the things that cover your major events, like surgeries, hospitalizations, that kind of thing. And then what I'm hearing you say is that Part B is kind of like, in private insurance, the part that covers your doctor's appointments and that type of thing. And what you're saying is that it covers X percentage, and then these additional policies that you just mentioned, they cover the additional amount that that the Medicare doesn't cover. Am I understanding that right? Is that what you're saying?
That's a pretty good comparison on, you know, the Part A and Part B coverage.
And okay.
Like we have with private insurance, you know, most of us will pay a premium, or we'll pay a part of a premium with our employer paying the remainder of the premium. So, you know, with the Part B, we do have the premium for the beneficiaries.
And then, like these supplemental policies we hear about, you know, like AARP supplemental policy and all these different Medicare supplement policies, where do those fall into the mix in with the different parts?
Right. With Part A and Part B, you can purchase a supplement. So that will help to pay for that additional 20% of the costs that you would be responsible for. Like I said, Medicare typically pays 80%, and then you or your supplement would be responsible for that 20%.
Gotcha. Okay. It's becoming more clear now. Great. Okay. So what's next?
Well, I'm probably going to start to confuse you now.
Oh, no.
Because there is Medicare Part C, which is also called a Medicare Advantage Plan. And
okay.
What happens with that is Part C replaces original Medicare Part A and Part B that we just talked about with plans that are offered by private insurance companies. Those companies sign a contract with Medicare. And those plans provide Medicare-covered benefits to Medicare members, and they can also offer extra benefits like hearing, vision, dental, or medical transportation. Most will also include a prescription drug plan. One thing to note is make sure your doctors and specialists are covered with the Medicare Advantage plan that you choose. If you have a Medicare Advantage plan, you would not be eligible for a supplement because you won't need one. It will cover some of those additional costs.
So in other words, what I'm hearing you say, let me just clarify this for our listeners. If you have Part A and Part B in a supplement plan, you could go with that, or you could choose the Part C thing. And if you did the Part C plan, then basically you don't even deal with the Part A and Part B anymore. You're just C on the Medicare Advantage plan. Is that what I'm understanding? It's one or the other.
Yes.
Is that right?
Okay. Yes, you're exactly right.
Okay.
So some of those costs associated with an Advantage plan are that you still have to pay that Part B premium, and covered and non-covered services would vary according to the plan that you select. There may still be additional premiums, co-payments, and deductibles.
So what would be some issues that people would need to look at to make that choice? I mean, are there certain reasons that somebody would choose either the Part A and Part B or choose the Medicare Advantage plan or what is called Part C? Is there a reason that they would choose between the two?
It's really one's personal preference.
Okay.
The advantage of an Advantage plan are you're getting some of those extra benefits, you know, the hearing, the vision, the dental, and maybe the medical transportation, but you'll want to do some research. And like I cautioned before, you want to make sure that your doctors and specialists that you go to are covered with that plan. You want to look at those costs. So you need to do a little bit of research to make sure that if you decide to go with a Medicare Advantage plan, you select one that's right for you and your situation.
Okay. So I guess that leaves us with Part D, right?
You're right. And Part D covers prescription drugs. And beneficiaries are encouraged to compare plans prior to enrolling since coverage varies. And what you will be paying with a Part D plan is premiums, copayments, and deductibles. These are all going to vary by plan. And if a plan has a deductible, this year it's going to be $310 or less. But a plan may not have a deductible. So many people have heard of the donut hole or the coverage gap. I'm going to try to explain it. That happens when you and your plan have spent $2,850 on covered drugs, and that will also include your deductible if you have one. And then at that point, when you're in the coverage gap, you're going to have to pay the total cost of your prescription medication. But through the Affordable Care Act, there is a discount while you're in the coverage gap. This year, you will pay 47.5% of the cost for name brand medications and 72% of the cost for generic medications. Once you have paid $4,550 out of your pocket for deductibles, coinsurance, and copayments, then Medicare will kick back in and pay 95% of your prescription drug costs, and that's when you're out of the donut hole. With the Affordable Care Act, the donut hole is closing, and it will end by 2020. So until 2020, we're gradually decreasing that donut hole, so you'll have more discounts with your generic and name brand prescriptions.
Okay. Well, can I ask a question about the donut hole? Then what I'm hearing you say is that if you're on, say, minimal or no prescription medications, that's really not going to even affect you. It would be if you were on a lot of prescriptions, because you may not spend up to that. What was the amount again, $2,850. So it may or may not affect you depending on how many medications you're on, right?
You're exactly right. And if you get in the donut hole and you happen to get out, that happens again every calendar year. So you could technically get in the donut hole again the following calendar year. So it starts all over every calendar year. But, yes, that's a good point. Not everybody's going to be affected by the donut hole.
So just another good reason to stay in shape and eat healthy and exercise and not have to be on prescription drugs.
That's right. I like to tell people during presentations that, you know, healthcare costs are so expensive, so try to do your part and do what you can to stay healthy.
Right. Well, let me ask, I want to ask you obviously about Senior Medicare Patrol, but let me go back and ask another question about the mechanics of Medicare. In other words, will you tell us how do we go about signing up when it's time? And actually, when is it time? And kind of take us through a little bit of a tutorial of what goes into signing up for Medicare.
Sure. For most people, there's a 7-month period when you can enroll in Medicare, and that's around your 65th birthday. So that 7-month period is going to be 3 months before your birth month, the month of your birth, and 3 months after your birth month. So you've got that 7-month period, and that's when people generally will sign up surrounding your 65th birthday. If someone is on disability and under the age of 65, once they're on disability for 24 months, they become eligible for Medicare. So it's a 24-month period. And then if someone is still working when they turn age 65, they have a special enrollment period. So they don't have to sign up for Medicare when they get to be age 65. They can wait until they retire or their benefits with their employer expire to sign up for Medicare.
Okay. And I'm sure that there are more and more people doing that. More and more people are working later than 65. And especially now that the full retirement age for like people my age, the full retirement age is something like 70. So it could be that there are more people waiting until they're in their late 60s or maybe even 70 before they do that, I take it.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Okay. And one more thing about these enrollment periods that I know is kind of confusing to people. I know there's something about enrollment periods during the year for drug plans and things like that, too, aren't there?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. With
sure.
The Part D prescription drug plan, the open enrollment period goes from October 15th until December 7th. And that's a chance for you to compare different drug plans because your prescription medication may have changed over the year. And each year, the prescription drug plans will change some of their offerings, too. So
mm-hmm.
If you don't change your Part D plan, then you'll have the same plan next year. Or you can take advantage of the October 15th until December 7th period to look at other prescription drug plans.
Okay, so it's really important to kind of stay on top of these dates so that you can make a choice if you don't like what you have or if something has changed for you then.
Yes, you're exactly right. And there's a great program. I don't know if your listeners know about the State Health Insurance Program, the SHIP program. It's through the AAAs. Each of the counties in Kentucky will have a SHIP program, and they help with benefits enrollment. So they can, you know, if you have questions about enrollment, you can always call them, and they'll assist you with that.
Great. And is there a website for that, Michelle? Do you know?
There is, and they also have a toll-free number. It's with the state, and I don't have that website, but I can get that for
That's
you.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah, maybe you could email it to me, and then I'll put it up on the Kentucky Living Health Club site. That'd be great. So, well, let's talk about the organization that you work for, Senior Medicare Patrol. Tell us what that is and what they do to help seniors with these types of problems with Medicare and like you said, fraud and that type of thing.
Sure. We help Medicare beneficiaries prevent, detect, and report healthcare fraud and abuse. We train volunteers to go out into the community to educate Medicare beneficiaries, family members, and caregivers to protect themselves against scams and healthcare fraud. So we educate seniors throughout the whole state of Kentucky. We have about 140 volunteers who help us with that task. Volunteers use their time and experience to help their peers protect their identity, understand Medicare summary notices, and avoid being tricked by scammers.
Wow, that's great.
It is. It's a great program. And we know that seniors are the first and best line of defense against unnecessary Medicare spending. So through our mm-hmm. outreach and education efforts, we make sure that seniors know how to spot scams, protect themselves, and how to report that. I think it's important for everyone to know about Senior Medicare Patrol and Medicare fraud because Medicare is sometimes billed for services and equipment that people don't need or that they don't receive.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, beneficiaries, their families, and the public should care about this because nationally about $60 to $90 billion are lost through unneeded Medicare spending. And that's
wow.
tax dollars.
Yeah.
Our tax dollars.
Our tax dollars.
Exactly. And that could go for better care and to make sure that Medicare is around for our children and our grandchildren.
Right, yes. And even maybe lower costs and lower premiums. I mean, who knows? I mean, if there's enough fraud caught, and that could really lower costs for us as well in the present day.
Right.
So, well, why don't you, is there a website and a phone number for Senior Medicare Patrol that I can jot down?
Yes, I do have a toll-free number.
Okay.
My number is 877-603-6558.
Okay.
And I can send you a copy of our link to our website, too.
Great. That'd be awesome. I can post that also on the Online Health Club. Well, Michelle, I surely do appreciate you being here. This has been a very informative interview. I think we covered, do you feel like we covered the important parts of this? And is there anything else that you can think of that you need to add?
Well, on a positive note, I want to just share with the listeners that last week the Obama administration reported healthcare fraud efforts recovered a record $4.3 billion in taxpayer cash for fiscal year 2013, and that
wow.
is up from $4.2 billion in 2012. And for every dollar spent investigating healthcare fraud and abuse in the last 3 years, the government has recovered $8.10. So I think that's a pretty good statistic.
Yes, it sounds like it is. That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Something that the government is, people would probably say something that the government is doing right, I guess, right?
Yes.
So, well, thanks again, Michelle. I surely do appreciate your time and all this wonderful information. And for you Kentucky Living Health Club members, be sure to listen to next week's interview. Thanks so much.